John Mollison and old guys and their airplanes is the subject for this segment. And John, thanks for coming to EA Radio. Glad to have you here.
This is awesome.
Thank you. I think we probably know you best for 2D, high-quality art of World War II airplanes. Talk about how that sort of started you in the direction that you are now, which is much richer than that.
Well, first of all, I got to say, anybody can draw airplanes. I'm really not, I mean, even though I've been very blessed, my artwork's all over the world, but anybody can draw airplanes. What I'm in it for is that when the pilot signs their signature under the nose, and it's not so much just getting their autograph, but what it means is that I've connected with that person. My artwork, every airplane I do, virtually every airplane I do, ends up getting signed by the pilot who flew it in combat. And the story, though, doesn't stop there, because if you focus only on the names, dates, and places of history, you miss so much. When I talk to these guys, they're in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. And they've not only lived through combat, but then they've come home, they've survived, obviously, and they've started businesses that failed, had marriages that failed, kids that did great, wonderful careers, good moments, bad moments. And so it's really about talking to these people who have a greater breadth and a greater depth of what it means to be alive. There's a quote that I have on my website, johnmollison.com, and I'll say this over and over. It's a great quote because it stops people in their tracks, but it's a quote I got from a F-4 pilot who flew in Vietnam War. His name was Rick Hilton. When an old man dies, a library burns. And preservation to me says you put something in a box and you store it and maybe let people in once in a while. What I want to do is do the thing that opens up the box and makes it relevant for today or tomorrow. So it's about finding what's inside these old people who've seen history and who've seen incredible things, and make it relevant to people of my generation or my kids. So sorry for being the geek about the word preservation, but I think I found this over the years, that when you talk about preservation or you talk about history, there's a snore that happens. It's just natural. And I get it, because I've been a part of those history classes where, you know, you get up and you learn names, dates, and places. It's studying history and studying what these veterans have done is so profitable, and it's so reasonable to understand. I mean, we can learn about business, we can learn about politics, we can learn about community, personal, because these old men, these libraries, are fonts of relevant information. So sorry to be the nerd and go, oh, no, you're starting off on the wrong track. But I need to make that distinction, that talking to old people is not about preserving history. It's about moving forward.
Give me some examples of old guys in their airplanes that people would recognize you for. Let's think about World War II and Cold War in particular.
Okay. Well, a show that I produced, well, there's a couple things, the distinction. First, I started out in my career drawing airplanes. And I started that about age 3. And I had no intention of ever being a writer or an artist or making movies, making films. But then when I got into the corporate world and I started to meet some of my boyhood heroes, Bud Anderson, by the way. Bud Anderson, I read about him age 4. And he's actually the reason why I do what I do. So maybe I could start with that story. And I started to develop an audience. Then that's where my work kind of went from just being a historical archivist to being something that say, okay, what can we take and move forward and actually evolve society? And Bud Anderson, yeah, I'll just bring him up. Without him, I wouldn't be doing this. I interviewed him years ago. I was working for a e-zine website thing, and his book, To Fly and Fight, had just come out, and I'd been given a PR copy, and it was part of the PR thing to, you know, review the book. Great book, by the way. I think everybody here has probably read it, if not heard it. But I developed a relationship with Bud, and when I called Bud one day, I was a corporate executive at the time. I had a number of employees, and I called him up and I said, look, you led 22-year-olds into battle. What can you tell me about how to do that? Because I have to lead 25-year-old managers into battle. And it was really remarkable, because in so many words, Bud said, you know, I do get sick and tired of talking about World War II, but I do like talking about all the leadership experience that I've gotten. And he then said, as long as you ask old men questions about leadership, about life, I'll open up my Rolodex of all my World War II pilots. So that's how I got started. And without Bud Anderson and his encouragement to think beyond just the moment in history, just beyond World War II, just beyond the P-51 Mustang or whatever he was flying or dogfights or whatever, without him, I wouldn't do what I do. And my audience has grown because I work at capturing the history, but also capturing the information of what does Bud Anderson mean to you or me? What can we learn from that? Is there something profitable that you can take to the work world or even to your personal life and not sound like a cheesy motivational speaker? You know, it's good to talk to our elders. And yeah, I'd say Bud Anderson is probably my genesis.
So it sounds like that you're the most excited about the opportunities that sort of open up and proceed from where you start. And it sounds to me like where you start is with vintage aircraft, vintage warbirds, mm-hmm. and the people who flew them.
Yeah.
Given that you kind of started there, are you still doing that? Are you still doing 2D, highly detailed renderings of retired warbirds and then talking to the folks who flew them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's where it starts. Everybody has really experienced some sort of cool history. Everybody has. Because, you know, life is interesting if you think about it. But it's, as you mentioned, it's the gateway to meet somebody like Dick Cole. I got to spend 2 days with him, drove him around for an event. You know, you realize, okay, here's a guy who probably did one of the most heroic acts in audacious acts in aviation.
Which was, for those who don't know,
the Doolittle raid on Tokyo in 1942. Dick Cole was right seat for Jimmy Doolittle when they took their B-25 off, the first one off the Hornet. Well, you start talking to him and he starts explaining his life, his relationship with his daughter. And you start realizing, you know, these heroes, these great men are really normal. They're just normal people. And when you start thinking, somebody who could do something as incredible as be a part of the Doolittle raid is also just a normal guy, that's inspiring. The veil of stardom or celebrityism, it just evaporates. And so you think to yourself, who's more interesting to talk to, the Kardashians or Dick Cole? And I think Dick Cole then becomes really relevant to everybody then. And then people go, that's what it takes. Courage is something we can all attain to. Character, that matters.
I'd like to think that over time, interest in these people and their stories is growing because opportunity to capture those things is certainly fading fast. Are you seeing anything like that?
Look, my website, I watch my stats every day. I'm kind of a tech nerd, and I know more and more and more and more people read my stuff.
Your URL again, just real quick?
Well, johnmollison.com. You can get to any of my other websites from there.
Uh-huh.
You go to johnmollison.com. But I get more traffic every day, and it's worldwide. I was asked why I thought that happened. Without sounding like a crank or being too controversial here, but for the most part, in the past 30, 40 years, we've done a pretty good job of taking old people and removing them from our life. You know, grandparents see their grandkids twice a year, once a year, maybe less. And the millennial generation, as much as you want to malign them for, they can be a royal pain in the butt in a lot of ways, what they do is they have a tremendous value for this idea of learning and education. And that's a great segment of my audience are these millennials who realize, wow, grandpa lived a cool life. Grandma and great grandma, holy smokes, I really wish they were here. And so when I ask the questions that I do, if you were to have your last day on earth and spend it with my 16-year-old daughter, what would you tell her? The answers you get are amazing. And sometimes it's a whole lot cooler than, you know, I was at 30,000 feet surrounded by Germans.
How do I get to some of those answers?
Go to my blog. I update my blog periodically. But you asked a bigger question. How do I get to those answers? I think the question for you or anybody listening is when you look at somebody old, you got to look at yourself. You got to look at those people and you got to go, you know, I'll be there one day. And so the first thing you need to do is you need to respect it. Make a contact and say, you know, I'm not going to be afraid of age. I'm going to value age. I'm going to look forward to age. And then when you meet Dick Cole, look him in the eye and ask him the questions of character. When you meet Bud Anderson, ask him the questions that they really want to answer. And that is, how can the world be a better place?
That's great advice, and thanks for that. Thanks for taking the much broader scale. Now, to be very much more narrow about it,
yeah.
How do people make contact with you or your work while at AirVenture Oshkosh 2016?
Well, I tell you what, the best way to do it, 605-261-6070, text me. I have the coolest business card of anybody here at AirVenture. Do I not?
Yeah. It's kind of awesome. So what I'm looking at is a piece of aluminum that's probably been laser cut.
Nope.
And no?
Nope. It's chemically etched.
Chemically etched.
Even cut through.
And when this, when the pieces of this, when the wing, the fuselage, and the horizontal stabilizer are popped out of this business card,
right.
It becomes a what?
F4F Wildcat in the markings of South Dakota's favorite son, Joe Foss.
Awesome. Now, you know, it would be crazy for me to actually turn this business card into an airplane, so the tension is going to be crazy. I mean, it's so cool looking, and I'd love to build the model that it's intended to be, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I left some. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave some here.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave just a little stack of those suckers. If I told you how much they cost, you would scream, but I don't mind giving them away.
Well, not too many business cards do this, actually, when you tap them to each other. I'm not kidding. I'm tapping two of his business cards together.
But if you've got I gave you some paper ones too. I'll leave you a little stack.
Yeah.
And if people want them, they can contact you and you can have some.
Well, that's nice. So EA Radio's studio is building tea, and if you want to come by and visit.
They are the coolest business card. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's great.
It's one of those things that I've done, and I've done well, so I don't mind bragging. I don't mind telling the world.
So there's two stories. Yeah, it's great. So there's two stories here. One is, what does John Mollison do? And that's johnmollison.com. And then what can we do that's valuing and approaching what you're doing? And so thank you for kind of telling that story today.
Well, you're very welcome.
Appreciate that.
Jeez, thank you. I appreciate being here. This is awesome to see all the planes and a few old guys.
John Mollison with Old Guys and Their Airplanes. Thanks so much for visiting. For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.